Okay, well, I'm going to mimic Nadine and just skip all the shebang associated with nanoparticle backgrounds. I think we all know. Really, what this is an effort to look at some of the fundamental behaviors of nanomaterials. If we create a dispersion of nanomaterials, what happens to that dispersion, and what's the consequences of that on dissolution of that material? And those are the two kind of the two main toxicological endpoints that people are interested in. So I'll cut straight to it and talk about kind of the foundational theories that are utilized. So people always talk about, first of all, they say that you can approximate, at least, yeah, approximate particle flocculation using this simple kind of second order equation where the rate of the number density change is proportional to the square of the initial number density concentration, and then some kind of constant that defines the second order rate constant. Also, you can define dissolution as the change, the first order kinetic model proportional to the concentration of silver in solution, and then some kind of kinetic coefficient. These two equations are commonly found in the literature, but they're not coupled together. No one really knows how they come together. So what I'm going to do is force them to come together. And the way that I'm going to do this is I'm going to integrate both of these equations, the second order and the first order. I'm going to set them to t, which is my variable, and then I'm going to create what's called a parametric relationship. So I'm going to set these two equal to each other. So I'm going to force them to be related to each other. So this is my function after a solvent, and it says that the concentration of silver is a function of the initial concentration of particles, and then the decay of that initial concentration as predicted by these two constants right here. Okay? So I'm forcing them together. And there's no theory in the literature that does this. It's very limited in what you can do to actually find in the literature that actually couples these two theories together. But in order to understand them, I had to force them together. So this is the plot of the function. If we can assume that k1 equals k2, then the function looks something like this, where as the particles settle out, we see an increase in dissolved silver. And that time flows in this direction. Probably the more appropriate fact is that K1 is much greater than K2. Flocculation is a very slow process. And so if you count for that, about an order of magnitude difference between these two, the function takes on that kind of shape. Still, time is flowing backwards. So this is our theoretical straw man here. This is assuming that both of these processes occur simultaneously when you create a dispersion. So I'm going to look at, I'm going to show you data on some very simple simple systems. This is a 10 ppm nano silver systems. This is a PVP coated material. We previously characterized this. This is data from my previous publication, and it's going to be impossible for me to describe it to you in the time that I have. But really, what this data tells us is that we have different effects on the nano silver depending upon ionic strength, so ranging from 1 mmol sodium nitrate to 100 mmol sodium nitrate. And we also have differences associated with the presence of a surfactant, which is designed to stabilize dispersion to start with. So we're going to look at those three systems, low and high electrolyte, and then the presence of a stabilizing agent. So the methods for these were quite simple. We dispersed them in different backgrounds of electrolyte, and in one case added a surfactant in addition to that. We have two treatments. The systems were either stirred continuously or they were shaken continuously, and I'll show you why that's important. We had multiple endpoints, assumed from particle size, from diamond light scattering, optical density measurements, TOC, and such. So we wanted to follow everything very closely. Dissolved silver was calculated through an ultracentrifugation method, spinning at 100,000 Gs for 30 minutes. So we felt pretty confident that we're just getting dissolved silver. And then what I'm going to show you is some modeling. You had to know what models. So I modeled the particle density data, the particle number density data, the flocculation data based upon a second order model. Modeled dissolution on a first order model, that's sensible. But what I did is I actually did weighed the modeling based upon the standard deviation among the triplicates. So when you see the curve steering away from certain points, it's because those points have a lot of error. So in that way, I thought I'd be a more appropriate fit and more appropriate parameters would be calculated based upon the error and the accuracy of the data, the precision of the data. I want to make a quick point here in terms of number density. I almost never see this parameter represented in the scientific literature, and that's probably a big mistake because it turns out that assuming that mass concentration is always preserved, the number density for a particle typically varies depending upon the particle size. So as you increase the particle size, the number density drops down. And on the nanoscale, that can be several orders of magnitude, and that can have huge implications in terms of the kinetics, in terms of toxicological exposures. So really, it's very important that we always present our data in terms of number density in addition to mass concentration. What's really hard to calculate number density, but you can approximate it through looking at the non-absorbing UV-Vis spectra, such as for what we did at 600 nanometers. So the number density becomes a function of this extinction coefficient and then the path length. So really, if we assume there's no absorbance such as plasma resonance within our range of wavelengths, then we can assume this is solely attributed to a scattering function. And so we can directly relate our absorbances to number densities. And so this is going to play an important role here. So let's first look at the stirred systems. Now these systems, when the dispersions were made, were not sonicated. So what you're watching is the evolution. These are powders that I use because the concentrations that I use and detections that I need were way beyond what I could afford in terms of buying mono-dispersed nice dispersions. But I thought it was interesting because in environmental systems we expect wetting and drying cycles. And so in some sense this may represent, you know, kind of the what would happen to the environment. So this is the kinetic work with time. Here we see particle number density as represented by N and this sigma value. Here is the mean particle diameter as calculated, measured from dynamic light scattering, and here is dissolved silver with time. What you see is that with time, and again these are not sonicated, the system moves toward going from a lower to a higher number density, and that roughly, but not pure, not very, it's not a very pretty relationship, but you do see a rough decrease in the particle size associated with an increase in the number density, and that's consistent with what we theory believe. So here, mass is conserved. We didn't lose any mass. But we're drastically changing the number density because the particle size is moving around. In these particular systems, we see that this solution actually increases quite a bit. Now this is, I failed to mention, this is in low electrolyte and surfactant bridge 35. And we previously showed that the surfactant, the presence of the surfactant, the silver release silver concentration is well above what you calculate from, say, like a geochemical speciation modeling. So in this particular case, we don't see any evidence of flocculation. We just see evidence of the dispersion stabilizing itself coupled with dissolution. So if you got used to the equations I showed you, I'm changing them all around. And what I'm doing is I'm using kinetic equations that give me adjustable parameters so I can parameterize these relationships. So if this represents the second order kinetic model for the change in the number density, this represents the dissolution model. Then you combine these two together, creating the parametric relationship. It's this nasty little function right there. And if you plot that function, you get this relationship. Now, I plotted this as log because I did these in Mathematica, and I'm not very good at manipulating my plots in Mathematica, so one of these days I'll get around to actually putting them in a better format. So this is log particle number density versus dissolved silver. And as you can see, the function is very different from what we predicted if those two simultaneous flocculation and dissolution experiments or properties occur at the same time. You actually see that as you increase the particle number density, we predict an increase in the dissolution rate, or dissolution of silver, and that time flows in this direction on that particular plot. If you look at now in a system that's only electrostabilized and dilute electrolyte, again, the kinetics are actually very similar to what we saw in the presence of bridge 35. We see an increase in the number density correlating with a decrease in the mean particle diameter, and then this increase in the dissolved silver. It's not clear this is really asymptotic because there's a lot of error associated with these data points right here. When we go and evaluate the functions, create the parametric function, again, we get a very similar type of plot where we see an increase in the particle number density correlating with an increase in dissolved silver, and time flows in this direction in the parametric relationship. Now we looked at systems where we have the high amount of electrolyte. We fully expected the system to settle out and be destabilized by the high electrolyte concentration. And this is data from a previous paper we published. And you compare 1 millimolar to 100 millimolar sodium nitrate, nanosilver, these same nanosilver particles. You get very rapid settling out within 100 hours. And that correlates with an increase in the mean particle diameter. So again, that's consistent with the relationships I described earlier. So we expect these systems to be destabilized by the high electrolyte concentration. However, when we looked at these systems, there was so much error associated with the mean particle, the number density data, and the mean particle diameter data that the kinetic, we couldn't come up with a kinetic model. And that's the beauty of this particular weighting. It doesn't give us anything that's false or inconsistent, I hope. However, we do see that there's about an order of magnitude decrease in the number density in this particular system because we've got much larger particle sizes. However, we do see that there is an increase again in dissolution, and that dissolution exceeds what we expected to occur through a geochemical modeling. So we don't have a parametric relationship for that, but it appears that the system, even though it's energetically favorable to destabilize, by stirring, we're smacking the system around, keeping it fluxing and keeping it mixing it very well, and that we still promote dissolution as long as we keep this thing in dispersion. 5 minutes. Contrast it to shaken systems, where shaken systems are not as efficient as of dispersing materials. So we know we'll eventually allow these things to flocculate. So if you look at the systems of 1 millimolar sodium nitrate, low versus high electrolyte, this is the number density data, and this is the dissolved silver data. There's a little more complexity than I'm actually showing in some of these models. But basically what we see is there's a bit of a lag period. And during that lag period, you see the silver concentrations jump up. Then after you start to see flocculation evident, you start to see the silver concentrations drop. It's even more pronounced in the high electrolyte, where we did a shorter amount of time for this, because I expected them to settle out really, really rapidly. These two data points are high error, so the fit avoided those. And so this is actually a really good fit of the data. But I went back and fit kind of early stage versus later stages. Again, you see this spike in silver concentrations followed by another decrease in silver concentrations. If you create the parametric function, you see that it has this kind of shape, where we see a decrease in the log number density correlating with a decrease in the dissolved silver, and time flows this direction. So the question is, what are we seeing? It appears we're seeing a function. If you combine the two systems, you see a function something like this, where you don't actually see the system in a simultaneous flocculation and a dissolution mode, I would say, or at least it's in a minimal dissolution mode. So here you have a minimal dissolution mode. As you move in this direction with respect to particle number density, as you move up into particle density, you move into this more stable dispersion, and then you have a dissolution mode. And time can flow either direction, as we saw in the batch studies. So in the batch studies, we kind of went this direction, and then we turned back around and go in this direction. So that's important to say that in this particular system, there's no evidence that you have simultaneous dissolution and flocculation. So in the effect, the environmental effects of your nanomaterials really depend and are controlled by the particle dynamics. So if you're in a situation where you flocculate the system, you probably have minimal worry about dissolved silver being released in the system. However, if you're going to promote a very stable dispersion, then I would worry about it under these particular in this particular system. And there are mechanistic explanations. I don't have time to go into them. It's actually quite interesting. I draw on a lot of stuff from the pharmaceutical literature right now. But I think I'm actually writing the paper, so hopefully some stuff will be forthcoming soon. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you so much. We have 2 minutes for questions. Any questions for Mark?
Yes, sir.
How do you think the pH will affect your model, you think? How about the medium pH?
Oh, yeah, it's going to affect it. Yeah. The pH, as I said, we followed the pH, and the pHs are constant throughout these experiments. But yeah, if I go back, these are so labor intensive. I'm not going to do pH right now. But yeah, I expect these nanomaterials. We did a surface complex system modeling in the last paper, and they have both an organic and the kind of metallic behavior, charge behavior that's expressed. So certainly, as we cross those pKa boundaries, we're going to see some differences. But I think the differences are still going to fall within those functions. It's just that function line is going to slide back and forth.
Mm-hmm. So, is there any specific reason you're using the number density?
Pardon?
Is there any specific reason you're using the number density instead of concentration?
Yeah, because the number density for dissolved solutes, the number density is readily calculatable through Avogadro's number. But for a particle, you don't know the molarity of solute within that particle. So you have to take a wild guess But the problem is also that the number density varies depending upon the size of the particle, and the molarity and the size of the particle dictates the molarity. So if you calculate the number density, then you get a more realistic picture of actually what are the kinetics of that system, as opposed to the mass is always conserved. So if you go from a large particle size to a small particle size and the mass is conserved in that system, you have a wide range of number densities that occur, and the kinetics are very different, and it has implications for differences in exposure and toxicity and everything. So without representing it in terms of number density, you're really missing the full dynamics of the particles in that system.
One quick question, or just that's it?
Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.